Bibles tonight, open them to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll just read one verse to start with and look at many verses before we're done. Hopefully, it won't be too long. Dale's timing me back there. Kenzie's timing me. I'm under a lot of pressure here. Dennis, he's causing problems, coming in late, and stirring everybody up. But he'll be all right. Them kids thought they were going in the back, and they're all going to camp. That's what it is, see. That's why they went back there, because usually on Wednesday night we have something back there. But that's all right. They can be out here. And it won't hurt them, that's for sure. All right, tonight we're just going to look here at a few verses in 1 Peter 1:23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, that's what we're going to talk about, being saved. And what do we get when we get saved? We get born again. We sung that song, redeemed. We've been saved, we've been redeemed. And to redeem something would be like have something, maybe at a pawn shop, you went and redeemed it back. And he bought it back with a price. And the price was paid for our salvation was the blood of Jesus. And so we're washed in the blood if we're saved. And the blood washes away our sins. Not the baptismal water, but the blood washes away our sins and forgives us. And God looks at our sins and he sees the blood and he can't see our sin. And the Bible says it's cast as far as the east is from the west. And that's a pretty good distance. If you go, if it said north and south, it wouldn't be too far because you hit the North Pole and you start going south again. You went north, and if you hit the South Pole, you start going north again. But you can go east and never run out of east. Just keep going and going and going. Same way with west. And so our sins are as far as the east is from the west when we're saved. We trust in Jesus to take us to heaven. That's what we're talking about. So what do we get there when we get that? We get in John chapter 14. If you want to turn there, you can. We'll read a couple verses. Very familiar verses. John 14. One thing we get when we get saved is we get a heavenly home. A heavenly home, a place in heaven. And we'll get that someday, get a glorified body, and be good to not have aches and pains and be old. Seems like I keep getting older. I was just talking to Alan, said, how long have we been in this church building here? Like 17 years maybe? Doesn't seem possible, does it? It was down there on the south end about 15. Here's 17. I don't know how long is that other one. 10, 15 years. So that's been a long time, hasn't it? 10 years at the other one. But anyway, we get a heavenly home. And let's read John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking here, if you have a red-letter Bible. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm glad it doesn't say tents or shacks or something like that. There's a song, I've probably said this before, but there's a song that this girl got up and sang one time. My dad was preaching a revival. And you maybe you've heard this song. I heard it a while back for the first time in years. And it's, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. And it's a good song, but there's just one thing wrong with it. There's not going to be cabins in the corner of glory land. There's all going to be mansions. No cabins, no tents. And I don't like sleeping in tents. It's too hot, and it always rains on me. But a mansion will be a lot better. And he's going to have a mansion. In my house are many mansions. If it not were so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So that's what he's doing now, preparing a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, verse 3. And so he's coming back after us, the people that are saved, born again. So if you're not saved, you wake up and everybody's gone, you know that's what happened. But it'll happen someday and we'll be gone. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to take out of here and be gone to heaven. And so John 14 there, we're going to get a heavenly home. And then John 3:16, we all know that verse. We should memorize that, probably the first verse most people memorize. John 3:16, the second thing we get is a heavenly father. It says, for God so loved the world. God, that's our Heavenly Father, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we get a Heavenly Father, someone we can pray to. We pray tonight to God, our Jesus up there interceding our prayers, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God and taking him to God. And we have a Heavenly Father. And he's like your earthly father ought to be, maybe isn't, but really wants what's best for you. And Clarence Sexton, who's a preacher in where Crown College is at, Temple Baptist Church in Knoxville, said, God will always pick the best for those who leave the choice up to him. So we make decisions sometimes, and they're not as good, but let God make the decision, and he will always pick what's best for us, because he knows, and he knows what's going to happen. So our Heavenly Father, who loves us, loves enough to send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And then back over in 1 Peter, we were just there. We go back. It's all the New Testament. I got a few Old Testament verses here, but make you learn your Bible verses a little bit here. You ought to learn how to say the books of the Bible. We used to teach them to kids, and we sort of got away from that a little bit. I think they still do back there in patching that. And there's a little song that goes with the books of the Bible. You know, learn all the books of the Bible, how to sing them. And that song, you can learn where they're at and help you find stuff. There's one for the Old Testament, New Testament. You can put them together, and you can quote all the books of the Bible. But we also, in 1 Peter 2, verse 2:21. For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Why did no man sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So we get a loving Savior is the third thing we get, a loving Savior, and a Savior that loves us to enough that suffered for us. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and he was obedient, and he done that for us, for you and for me, for the whole world, for the sins of the whole world, and people will accept that. Next thing we get in Acts chapter 2, if I can find it here, I'm in Acts, I just got to get to chapter 2. All right, verse 1, we'll start there. We get the Holy Spirit. So we got God the Father, God the Son. This isn't in no specific order. I mean, heaven was the first one, our heavenly home, and that's probably not the most important. As long as we have God the Father and God the Son. And so no real order of importance here. But Acts 2, we get the promise of the Holy Spirit. And verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So here's where they got the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and he spoke in tongues then because they didn't have a copy of the Word of God. And the Bible over in 2 Corinthians says, where there's tongues, they'll cease. And because we have the written word now, we don't need to do that. And so the Bible teaches against that. Some people don't believe that, but it does. So we get the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and getting more of the Holy Spirit. And it's not you getting more of him. You got all you got of him when you got saved. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit kind of moved inside of you. And you got all of him. You couldn't take part half of him or a fourth of him. You had to either get all or none. It'd be like taking Hill up here to Huck's to get him a soda or to McDonald's. Don't go to McDonald's. They said he's closed because the air conditioner broke, so can't go to McDonald's after church. But you couldn't take half a Hill up there. You'd have to either take all or none. The Holy Ghost is a person, the Holy Spirit. And he's a whole. You have to take him all. And getting more of the Holy Ghost is him getting more of you. He gets more of you. You surrender fully to him. And I don't think we're ever surrendered fully to him. And some famous preacher, D.L. Moody, or one of them, said the world is yet to see what could be done with one man that's fully surrendered to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, fully surrendered to him. And that's us being fully surrendered to his will, what he wants us to do. And then Somebody's getting alarmed there. It's time for me to quit, Kenzie. Did you set the alarm? Kenzie. In Proverbs 1:19, the next thing we get, Psalm 1:19. That's what I meant. You know what I meant, not what I say, right? Verse 140, we get the living word, the Bible, the living word of God. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. So we're a servant of God, we ought to love the Bible. Verse 101 says, I refrain my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And Psalm 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lights our way, God's word. It's our food. That's why we're here tonight, getting food, getting fellowship, and getting fed from God's word. And be a good way to be on a spiritual diet if you listen to me, but get fed from God's word. We read the Bible, we get fed. But we get the Holy Spirit, we get the living word. And then we get the local church. In Acts chapter 2, the local church is established. I won't go over there, but God works through a local church. All the ministries he works through starts from a local church, and that's why as we have camp, we go to a camp that is run by a local church. They have an authority over them as a local church. We don't have authority over the church because we're independent, but we have authority over other ministries that we do. That's why these guys that go out here and just have like their own ministry, their evangelistic team or something, not under any authority of any local church. Sometimes they get mixed up and go astray, but we need to be under the authority of a local church where you're a member. A preacher that just goes around and preaches and not a member of a local church, doesn't have a part of a local church, is not doing what he ought to be doing. He ought to be out of a local church, have a pastoral authority over him. And Christ died for the church. We see that in Acts. And there's security and there's safety in a church. So we get a local church. Then we also get a church family. We have a church family here. This is our church family. We have a church picnic. And our church family is all ages. You go to some churches and the average age is 75 years old. That church is not going to be here too long. There's some churches like that in Florida, I'm sure. And they're not going to be here a long time. And people die off and nobody's going to be there to take their place. But churches are all ages. And young to the old, it's good we have kids in the nursery. For a few little while, our kids sort of growed up. We didn't have any babies in the nursery. We're starting to get a few back in there in the younger classes, and they grow up pretty fast. Doesn't seem like it's just, they just go so fast and then go through the teen class and they're gone. But all ages in our church and all backgrounds. It doesn't matter, rich, poor, tall, short, it doesn't matter. All backgrounds come to church. And all levels of growth. People come that are baby Christians, not been saved a long time. People that come that's been saved a long time. And you say, how does pastor preach to all of them? Well, the people that's been saved a long time, they can get just as much out of a message to a person that's not been saved very long. And I heard one preacher say, the Bible's so deep that the oldest Christian can dive into it and never hit the bottom. But it's also so shallow that the youngest Christian can wade in it and never drown. So that's the Bible, how it is, and it's for everybody. So our church family is that way. And we also, the eighth thing here is the peace of God. We get peace, and the Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We get the peace of God, we get peace with God when we get saved. We get peace with God, and we don't have to live in turmoil. We can have peace with God. Next thing we get is a testimony, tell what happened to you. You know, if you're out here and we went to get Patsy and there's a note on the door there at Charlie Brown Park, so I don't know what they're doing out there, but we didn't get Patsy, but we did go after her. She'll probably be mad that we missed her, so I don't know how that happened, but they took her out there. But we crossed the highway there. I always hate crossing the highway here. There are any spots down here where there's no light. Even if there's a light, I look, because I'm in St. Louis every day and people don't even stop at them red lights. I mean, their law would come through there 50 mile an hour. You want to sit there a minute when it turns green and wait till somebody else pulls out there, because it's not good. And just good place to have a wreck. But if we see a wreck and you see it with your own eyes, you have a testimony of what happened there. So you have a testimony of what happened when you got saved. You're the only one that has that testimony. It tells how you got saved. You know how you got saved. And everybody's testimony is different. I mean, they all get saved the same way, but you got saved at a different time or, you know, under a different preacher or somebody else maybe showed you a different verse in the Bible. So you have a testimony of how the Lord dealt with you and you felt under conviction, felt the need, and called on him to save you, and he saved you. So your testimony. So you ought to have a testimony of what happened to you. You can share with others a story. We sing that song, Tell Me the Old, Old Story, and that's the story of Jesus. And we tell our testimony. And then next thing we get is blessings. We get the blessings of God. Malachi talks about the blessings. If we want a blessing of God, we give to his ministries and we get blessed. And then just a couple more, Kins. Next thing is something we don't get when we get saved. Is that we lose when we get saved. That we lose, we don't get. We don't get a place in hell. Hell's reserved for the devil and his angels. And God has a place there for you if you're not saved. And he don't want to put you there. You have to put yourself there by refusing God and turning him down. But hell's a real place. Luke 16 talks about the lake of fire and hell. And it's a real place. And the book of Jude talks about some having compassion, making a difference, snatching them out of the fire. And someone gets saved, you're literally just pulling their feet out of the fires of hell. And they're getting saved, getting born again. And then the last thing is, we'll turn over there since it's the last one. We've got lots of time. John 10. John chapter 10. Verse 10. The last thing we get is an abundant Christian life that we can have. It's attainable. It's available. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not. This is the thief talking about the devil. But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he's here for, the devil. Steal. He wants to steal your testimony, steal the word of God that's planted. He wants to kill and to destroy people, and he's doing that greatly today, destroying people. This is Jesus talking here. He says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant Christian life is available to us by reading our Bible, feeding on God's word, praying, working in church, Lester Roloff, a great preacher from days gone by, who flew around in an airplane, had girls' homes, and had places all over the country. And he said, find something God's doing and tie yourself to it. And get busy serving the Lord, and you'll be happier serving the Lord than any job you ever had. And don't worry about getting paid. You'll get paid when you get to heaven. And just serve others. And we're created to serve others. That's why people are not happy when they're out, they're selfish and live by themselves, don't do anything. And we're created to serve others. We're created to have fellowship. And that's why these clubs around town, people go up there, instead of coming to church, they go there for fellowship because they desire that fellowship. But they get the wrong kind of fellowship. They come to church, they get the right kind of fellowship with other believers. And he'll come over a little while ago and fellowship a little. We talked I think he's tired, missing that bus. He didn't get to drive it. But we can have an abundant Christian life. It's available to us. All we have to do is seek it out. And free from pain, free from turmoil. I don't like turmoil. Don't like, yelling and carrying on. It ought to be quiet. And we ought to have an abundant Christian life. Comfort free from turmoil. A life that God wants us to have. And we can have that by following his word and doing what he says. That's all I got for tonight. And Stan will have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Pastor will be back Sunday. Be back Friday, matter of fact. So be here Sunday in your place, and he'll be here preaching. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for each one that came out. Pray you help us to apply it to our lives. Be with Pastor. Give him safety as they travel back Friday. Be with the message you preached being preached even now at camp. And thank you for the ones that got saved up there, and just keep working on the hearts and lives of other ones. In Jesus' name, amen.